Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
And it is CliffCentral.com, and welcome to the program. Now, let me tell you, back in the day, there used to be many people that would arrive in studio and make magic when it comes to radio work. Customer Fresh isn't in town. He's making a movie, and he's quite fabulous. And I needed to speak to two very special people. You know, I must tell you, I have the pleasure to listen to a lot of things before I go on to air. And generally, on a Thursday, people meet God before Sumizi and I meet.
They meet God before Sumizi and you.
And you, exactly. And to listen to the Hour of Sex Talk is quite a very special hour, because I started getting very irritated because it was very graphic. It's quite a graphic type of discussion, Jonty.
Yes.
Jonty Saul. And I'm going to ask you this question, and we had Lisa the Lesbian as well, before we get into my very special guest, who's a wonderful member of the Afrikaans community, but we're going to leave him for this moment in time. But guys, I'm just quite confused. Why am I so uncomfortable to stand in after you, Jonty?
Well, we leave a certain energy in the studio that tends to permeate into you.
Really?
Yeah, so it
so
needs
you only start taking clothing off.
That's it. There we go. You had your chance last week and you missed it, okay?
I'm missing something.
Ooh, okay. You really unbuttoning that shirt. There we go.
Lovely chest. There's nothing wrong with it.
Okay. Sex, talking about sex in such an open and honest way makes people uncomfortable.
But why?
Because it touches the depth of who we are, touches the heart of who we are, touches our self-definition. It touches the things that we would rather leave unsaid. It touches the things that we will not acknowledge and admit within ourselves. So very few people are actually fully sexually honest. They won't admit the fullness of their desires. Mm-hmm. They won't admit the fullness of the definition of who they are. They'll put themselves in relationships and situations that doesn't allow the fullest expression of that. And when we started this, and in the work that I do, one of the most important concepts was never to use euphemism.
Explain that.
So much of what we say about sex is put in a euphemistic way.
Or a joke, yeah.
Yeah. They made love. They slept together. If you
they
slept
each other,
if
yeah.
you slept together, that does not necessarily mean that you did anything sexual, does it?
No, not at all. Well, it depends. It depends of the.
It's the connotation. Mm. So, you know, in movies and in the media, we see this kind of Hollywood style sex scene.
Mm.
Where
and porn's natural.
Yeah, so porn's different, but there's this kind of porn and Disney combo in mm-hmm. a way that we call it. So you see this trail of beautiful clothes leading to the bed. There's very often an empty champagne bottle in an ice bucket. There's this beautiful music playing and these curtains blowing in the breeze, and you wake up and nobody has mushy hair and nobody's breath smells mm. and everybody had a simultaneous orgasm the night before. That's it.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Yeah, because when you, and this is very important.
Yeah.
Because when you, not the perfect body, let's be honest.
Yeah. And most of us are not.
Are not. Most, let's be serious, come on.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you might think you're perfect, but you're not ready.
That's it.
Okay, because the desire of the desire meets the desire of what you need.
Yeah.
In the process of it. So the question is, that is, why is it an uncomfortable thing, Jonty?
You know, can I actually jump in a second before John to answer you? Because I know why you are uncomfortable.
Why?
And it's the same reason I initially was uncomfortable.
We're getting personal here.
No. It's the same reason I initially think I was uncomfortable, is because we were brought up Afrikaans. You were brought up Afrikaans as well.
No, not at all.
Not? Oh, okay. I thought you were brought up in Afrikaans.
No, I'm Lebanese.
Oh, Lebanese. There we go. Well,
with Irish blood.
The way in which I was brought up was very much that sex is not something that's spoken about. It's not something that's shown. It's not something we discuss. It's not something we openly tell people we want.
Mm.
And the second you do, you were labeled disgusting or vulgar. And I mean, I remember when, if you know, we would ever say anything about sex or that in front of my mom would say, well, you know, you're being vulgar or disgusting now. You don't do that. You don't talk about that. And we did a very important show a couple of weeks ago as well about how to talk to your kids about sex. And that's where it starts. And that's why we're uncomfortable. Initially, you know, when John Tintamar asked me when we met at the Cliff Central party, Lisa, you know, come on to one of our shows. I was a little bit, that's not really my thing. And I did one show and I had fun, and I did a second show and I had more fun. And the more shows I do, the more comfortable I get, the more things I learn, the more things I like, and the more open I become. And that's my opinion as a person that's not in the environment every single day and not working in it every day. Because, I mean, Tamar and Jonty are very comfortable with it.
Well, let me just discuss this with you, Jonty. Because I think that there's a very... with aggression and anger, comes a lot of... Well, the way we hide our sexual stuff, okay, in general, okay, is something, or our nudity, or our bodies, or what... is something that we are ashamed of.
Yes.
So the minute you bring shame in, then you start to do shameful things.
That's it.
In inverted commas.
And that's what we've done. We've put this enormous judgment...
Shame on...
On our bodies and our sexuality, and the idea of sex being sinful.
Because it's a secret.
Yeah.
Because everyone makes it a secret. We go to adult world, or we go do it quietly. And
we do it in the dark with the lights off.
Yeah, and it's like...
And we don't talk about it. And when we walk out of adult world... We have a little brown
nothing
paper
happened,
bag.
Nothing happened. Nothing happened. That's it. Yeah, nothing. It didn't exist.
Yeah. Wrong shop.
The point of why I opened Casper, the first show. My name's Alan Ford. Welcome to clubcentral.com. There's numbers to phone. 0861-555-189. It's just, I'm intrigued why I'm uncomfortable sitting in the studio after you in it. Because it's not about you. It's about something in me that
totally.
I don't resonate with, or because you're so and I remembered listening to this whole thing going on air, and you were doing something, and I was like, oh, these people are disgusting. Sis, how can they behave like this? Shocking.
So
I mean, how can you say these things? You can't talk about your things like that. Keep your business to your business.
So if we're going to be totally honest about it, then the simple thing is, when we have that response, it's simply because we are uncomfortable with something within ourselves that we haven't fully owned or accepted.
Okay.
About that.
Like nudity, like self-acceptance, like how do you like my body? Because a lot of it... Now, there's an interesting thought pattern, if I may, Jonty. And it's a lovely way to start a show before we get on to my next guest, who's a phenomenal singer in the Afrikaans community. But, Jonty, the interesting thing that I think about a lot is when you put yourself in these situations... When you're uncomfortable, you sometimes go with it because it makes another person more comfortable instead of owning what you have. And so sexuality generally comes down to you.
Absolutely.
And what you're about and what you think and what you feel and how you think and feel about it. Now, I've got Annie Baxter coming in at 12 o'clock, well, later on the show. It's a podcast, so we generally don't. And she's bringing three men with her, and she's going to do her show. And the most confident person. And I've got to tell you about Annie Baxter, because it's quite important, because it's coming up. Annie, I brought onto a radio show. It was one of the first shows I ever produced, about 16 years ago. The man was a Muslim gentleman who was presenting a show called Talk at 9 on a Friday evening. His name was Yusuf Abramji, by the way. If you've never heard of the man, you'd be stupid. But he is a brilliant, brilliant broadcaster and journalist. And I said, Yusuf, let's do this thing for fun. Let's bring little Annie in. This is 15 years ago. She had been in the industry for 15 years. And she came on and she took her things off in a little skirt, exactly the skirts that you guys are wearing. And she owned it. She owned her bigness, her body, her life, her what she was doing with it. You know, if we're going to be honest, she's not the most pretty human being on earth, but I promise you, that's beautiful when you
but
get down
to
it.
But what an energy and what a personality that comes through in that.
And so, when you so 30, so 15 years later, she's going to do this again. She's now, little Annie's coming back.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to do it. I have Yusuf on the line, and I'm bringing Annie in, and I'm bringing her boys in. Course, why not? Beautiful men taking their clothes off, why not?
Absolutely.
That's just what Casper does every Friday anyway, bring beautiful men in to take off their clothes.
Don't limit your possibilities if they're there.
You know, Jonty, it's not about that. I could get it. Who cares, really? But the idea is just that when 15 years ago, people were not allowed to talk about taking their clothes off. And we were ashamed to go to strip clubs. And we said things were bad. And I wasn't even out the closet in those days. So it tells you, in retrospect, how much I have evolved and developed. in terms of a human being. But once again, I still don't want to go into a sex shop because it's kind of too much for me. And I ask you this question. Should I or do I have to?
You don't have to do anything. The point is to know why you're making a choice to say yes and why you're making a choice to say no. Where does that come from? So in all of the work that we do, and most people who come and see me come because of sexual related issues. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people come and they say, well,
what are the biggest issues?
So for women, it's stuff like they're not having orgasms, sex is painful, no libido, they're not having internal orgasms, where's the G-spot, things like that. For men, it is early ejaculation, erection problems, lack of libido, we don't have intimacy anymore, we don't know enough about sex. Those are kind of the general biggest ones.
John, here's the question. I mean, why do they come to you because they don't know themselves or because they have a medical problem?
A little bit of both. And the biggest thing is that we're not taught about sex. We're not taught to be good lovers. And that's not only the physical, the technique side of sex. It's how to have a good relationship, how to enjoy your sex life on all levels, how to communicate, how to be intimate. Mm. What does love actually mean? Things like that. So when we don't have a culture of that, and by culture I mean that we're not brought up with it, we don't have the words to speak about it, we don't have a background where we have a place to ask questions and get honest, non-judgmental answers. So that makes it extremely difficult, and we've put this thing in the dark, we've made it dirty. So we don't have a space to do that. And as soon as you can start to own more of who you are, that's when you can start to actually release that. And that has nothing to do with what your body looks like.
How do you bridge the divide? Now there's an important question here, because it's like a kid in a candy store.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yeah, it is.
All of a sudden, oh, I like that. Like Liesl.
Yeah.
And Liesl. Her name is Liesl Lesbian, but I mean, that's what your name is. I mean, that's what you do. But all of a sudden, we get more exposed, so we're kids in candy stores. And then we get sugar addiction and we end up with diabetes and die.
No, but the important thing...
Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Where I'm coming from.
Yeah. And sometimes at the beginning of a journey, that's what people do. You go and you kind of eat yourself sick. But then you start saying, okay, so I really like that.
And not that.
That's it. Mm. Okay. And the important thing becomes knowing why you're saying yes to... And knowing why you're saying no to what you're saying no to. Is it coming from a place of fear? Because if you're saying no to something from a place of fear, from a place of fear of being judged, from a place of the fact that you might like it, like we were talking earlier about prostate stimulation. So for a lot of straight men, if something goes up my butt and I really enjoy it, what does that mean?
You gay homosexual bastard.
That's it. And it simply means that you've opened another avenue of pleasure. That's all. Doesn't mean anything. Quite simple. So if we know that we're saying yes from a place of consciousness and love.
But does it mean that you're gay then?
No.
Because it's an important question, because I've had this,
Why does it mean that you're gay? Gay is who you love, not who you can have sex or pleasure with. They're very, very different.
It's the same thing with lesbians using toys. And many, many, many straight people tell me, Liesl, do you like toys? And when I go, yes, they go, well, if you like toys, why don't you just sleep with a man? And it's like, well, because I don't find a man attractive. I don't. I'm not sexually attracted to a man. But there's just something about a woman wearing a strap-on or a woman pleasing me with a toy or me doing that same to her. That's just extremely sexy and beautiful. And it's an intimate experience because you get to experience that with a person you're extremely sexually attracted to.
So you can enjoy the cock without what the cock's attached to.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's the pleasure of the device.
It's the pleasure of the device.
And a lot of sex is the same thing. If you enjoy something, it doesn't put you in a box. It doesn't put a label there. And that's the important thing. One of our biggest things with sex is we put all these labels on ourselves instead of saying I'm a sexual and sensual being, and in that I can make choices in so many ways, in so many beautiful moments.
And of course, we've got little Annie's going to popping in at 12 o'clock. And again, John T. asked this question. Because intimacy and sex are two separate devices.
Totally.
And
the problem is we tend to confuse them.
Into me you see, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And you take it on.
That's it.
And so now I ask this. This is the question that we're going to leave this discussion. When you don't know your sexual self, How do you find it?
You explore. You find a place and a way that's safe. So a lot of the workshops and events that we do, for example, provide a safe space for people to step in. You dip your toe in the water first.
Okay.
You take it out. How did that feel? What did I get from that? What impact did it have?
So what do you do?
Me?
Explain this to me. Don't worry. I'm quite a... Yeah.
Okay.
I've lived.
Okay.
I'm not
so can we be... Okay. So for example, next week we're doing something called a water flow massage.
Water flow massage.
Yes.
Okay.
So it happens in an indoor heated pool. The water is 36 degrees.
Okay. Which is your body temperature close to one degree down. But okay.
Yeah. So it's really warm and comforting. Mm-hmm. It's dark. It's not like lights off, but there's candles all around. Mm-hmm. So it's really quite dark. So a whole lot of people get into this pool. Some will wear costumes because that's what they feel comfy in, and some will wear underwear, and some will be nude.
Okay.
So immediately, that allows you to say, so I've never been nude in front of a group of people before. If I take all my clothes off, what is that going to feel like? That's your toes in the water. And then at some point in this, and it's really hard to kind of imagine this, and it's really hard to explain, but it's the simple truth of what it is. You're going to lie in the middle of about five or six people. They're all holding you with one hand. It's a mixture of men and women. And really gently, really respectfully, I'm trying to be really serious here, Annie, and you're just
Annie,
flashing her boobs at me.
Stop doing that. We got you later.
So you're lying in the middle of the group of people, and you're held in this amazing safety, and they're really gently stroking your body with real reverence and giving.
Okay.
So they're not going to touch your genitals, so it's not sexual. It's a sensual, amazing experience of love. And whose hand that is in that moment makes absolutely no difference. And you get out afterwards and you think about that. And you say, wow, that was just a human experience, an essential experience, and that's all.
Okay.
It's not sexual. So you've had an experience that took you further than you did before.
Mm-hmm.
Then you think, what did it do? What impact did it have? Do I want to go and do something else?
Well, that's your own thought pattern, eh?
That's it.
And it comes back to the kid in the candy store.
Yeah.
So what are the rules? What are the sex rules? Come on. There are rules. We have to.
Of course there are rules.
They have to be.
Of course
there
are rules. So,
surely we have to be safe. Surely, because people, there's an HIV problem.
Yeah.
Surely we got to start there,
yeah,
at least.
So if you go to the swingers clubs, for example, and the sex clubs, mm-hmm, every room has condoms and lube and gloves and things.
Okay.
So immediately there's, if we're going to do anything, this is the way we're going to do it. So there's communication. And that says these are the boundaries of the experience.
Okay.
And as soon as we do that, we're creating safety.
Jonty, so always lovely to chat to you. We haven't had this conversation before. But
we haven't, Alan, so thank you so much.
I just didn't understand how to... Because sex is danger to me in some sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Because my world that I see... And I see and I learn more from.
Hmm.
It's dangerous. Though I will share a lot of information with you that is quite interesting, that loving someone, touching someone has nothing to do with that.
No, making love and having sex are worlds apart.
Absolutely. Into me you see, and touch me is two different things.
Absolutely. And okay, we can enjoy both as long as we know what they are and what they're not.
Absolutely. Jonty Searle. And this is cliffcentral.com. We're going to take a commercial break. And on that note, we've got a man who is one of the best musicians in the Afrikaans industry, and we'll chat to Tubi Yuster just in a moment.
It's back. Are you Jawsy Tough? Cycle through tunnels, head over floating bridges, and disappear into colossal stormwater drains. Why? Because you're a machine, and the city is your trail. With two separate routes, 22 and 54 Ks, choose your path and go where no mountain biker has gone before. On 6 September, ride the Hollard Juma. Brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Challenge accepted. Juma.co.za.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye-Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye-Gold, we are one.
It's back, the Botswana Annual International Music Festival. It's all happening on Saturday, the 5th of September, 2015, in Gaborone. Featuring Mafikizolo, Kulichana, Japreza, Zeus, Charmer Girl, MMP Family, Eskimos, Crispin the Drummer, Lizibo, and many more, including me, Gareth Cliff. Get your tickets online at www.webtickets.co.bw. Join us. Let's go partying in Botswana, Saturday the 5th of September, 2015. Make it a date. Don't be late.
Flying fish now has even more flavor.
Wow! More flavor!
Huh?
Hey!
Whatcha doing?
Bring even more flavor!
All right! Introducing new Chilled Green Apple.
Chilled Green Apple!
It's a beer with all the bitterness brewed out and green apple flavor brewed in.
I said the flavor's brewed in.
Go on, add some flavor.
Don't mind if I do. Hey!
Enjoy responsibly. Not for sale to persons under the age of 18.
Cliff Central cameos on cliffcentral.com.
He's a crooner. And in the Afrikaans world, well, and the English world, his name is Toby Uster. And I've got to tell you, there's magical music in the stuff that he does. Now, Duncan, lovely to spend this wonderful morning with you. The weather is weird for September, but nothing wrong and nothing surprising. The rain is necessary. So, would you play song number, track number 5 for me, please?
Hamba kahle Madiba.
Yeah.
As a father to a rainbow nation, he guided her, showing us the meaning of love. And he taught us all the joy of peace and forgiveness, leading on the long walk to freedom.
After 27 years of tears and heartache, he walked free, a man with joy, smiling to the world, uniting the world.
Let your spirit be free, shine where the stars is, where you must be. Your life was a gift of glory and hope to a land now set free. Hamba kahle Madiba, goodbye.
When his gentle, quiet voice of reason resounded,
Toby Uster is a South African singer, model, a writer, a television personality, and of course he's from the Karoo. And, you know, he can sing in both English, Afrikaans, and Italian. And he's just one of those very special, magical people. And you can hear the voice. We'll play some more of his music in a moment. But I tell you, how are you doing, Toby?
Good morning, Alan. It's such a privilege for me to be here with you on your show.
Well, Casper the Fries isn't in town, but we have you. So, you know, a lot of the time, you know, I created a television show called Veranderinge.
Yes, I've seen it.
I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of
it. It's a beautiful show. Yeah, I love it.
And it's about, I love the culture of Afrikaans music and Afrikaans people. And, you know, what I've loved about the experience of creating this television show is
because
that
because you travel a lot with the show.
Yeah, I've been to Lurisfontein.
Oh, you've seen all that beautiful small towns.
All the little towns, Kaffiersdorp and Verleersdorp and every dorp that name's named after a dorp. And I've got to tell you something about this, because Duncan, I want to include you in this. You know what's incredible is that I didn't realize that how many non-white South African people are Afrikaans. And we take it away from
the and that's the only language they can speak.
And colored people. And, you know, like blacker than black people. And it's what it is. And they can't speak English.
It's the only they language they can Afrikaans. Speak is Afrikaans, yeah.
Okay. And these people live in absolute harmony in these little dorps that you think that the apartheid regime had destroyed. And this is how people live together and do things together. And so what the magic of Afrikaans is, and Vriende van Afrikaans, and I've read the books, and I can't speak Afrikaans. I'm one of the the poorest people that have lost the point of not learning how to speak Xhosa or Zulu. But you can speak a number of languages because you've been there and you've lived on farms and people communicated with each other. And I think English is the way we speak, but Afrikaans, Xhosa, Zulu, and you've done it in Italian. And music is the way to bridge any divide.
You're right. With music, you can speak to people's hearts without
saying
are
you a man, are you a woman, are you black, are you
exactly,
white?
Exactly, because you can use the emotions in the music to get a message across. And but as you were saying, a lot of where I grew up, the coloured people, the only language I could speak was Afrikaans. And when things changed when I was small, and they wanted to bring in all these foreign languages in school, they like, no, we don't want it because we can only understand Afrikaans. Mm. We can only speak Afrikaans, and that was the beauty of it. It's like I always say to people, Joburg is like a different world from mm-hmm. South Africa, because you've seen it now with your program. Mm. As soon as you travel outside of Joburg and you go to the small little towns, you see the harmony between the people and how the language connects them to each other. And yeah, you're right.
So tell me, why did you... You're a musician. I mean, you're a model. I mean, he's quite cute. Who can say that? That's true.
Come on, Alan.
But in 2007, you began your career after leaving modeling and doing the whole Paris thing. And following your heart with music.
I wanted to sing since I was a very, very small kid. Since I could remember, I wanted to be a singer. And for some reason, I don't know why, I connect with the music of the 40s, the 50s, that era, the crooner era. And that's what I wanted to sing. And I tried to write music in that genre, mm-hmm. but not a lot. Because when I write, I normally write books. So my second book is out now. And so that I can do.
He's an author. He's a model. He has songs. And he's quite brilliant. Toby Yost is our guest, but I'm just asking you, why is your first love music, and why have you chosen that?
I don't know. I always say, you don't choose music; music chooses you. Mm-hmm. It's just part of you. When you grew up, you just know this is what you want to do. You just connect with it. So yeah, without trying to make a long story out of it, I think music chooses you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You just know it.
How old are you now? You're born in...
I'm 32.
32 years old. Yeah. You're quite a youngster, as one calls it.
Quite a youngster with an old soul.
I'm going to ask this question because it's important. Why haven't you made it big yet? Because Toby Yost is surely. We all should be going, we know this guy. You know, but I'm going to tell you why I asked the question. Because Michael Bublé's grandfather said, you know, it's just you need to find the right promoter. And Josh Groban's manager, and I've interviewed Josh, and met him a number of times.
Nice.
Barry, his manager, said the same thing. You just need the right person to push it. But the question is, why don't more of us know about you and your music?
Well, first of all, Alan, as for me, I don't chase fame. I don't want to be a celebrity. I don't want to be famous. I just want to do my music that's coming from my heart. And so I would rather get on the road doing shows, little town shows, then to phone the magazines to tell them about love stories and all of that, just to be in the media. Mm-hmm. So I don't do that. I don't normally go to media functions. I don't like that. But I think when I started singing 10 years ago, the music industry was quite different. That was the time when you know, the Soki music was big. The Boki Soki Rocky, that type of thing. That was the thing that everyone wants to hear. Mm-hmm. And that's when I came in the market with my old school music. And so, yeah, there was not a place for me in that bracket. So I had to work my way up through that. And the market has changed now. People now want to listen to me with music with nice lyrics, with deep lyrics, something meaningful. So it changed quite. So I think I'm getting there. But I work my way from the bottom to the end. That's why I believe in doing it from the bottom instead of going through quick fixes like competitions, singing competitions, TV mm-hmm. shows, and that type of thing. Because that thing makes you famous. But the problem is, what do you do with yourself when you're famous now? Everyone knows you, but they don't know what you're doing. Rather than focusing on your talent and work your way up through that. Because then they can skinner, they can talk about you, they can do whatever they want, but they can't take your talent away from you. And they can't take you back because you know the way, you know the route where you came from.
Where did you come from?
Well, let me tell you, that's quite an interesting story. How I started my music is I was in high school in Paul Gymnasium, And I started with singing classes. And then I asked my teacher, how do you do your own show? Where do I start with doing shows? He said, well, organize your own show. I said, how? He said, make a plan, but do your own show. Mm-hmm. So I was 16 years old. I hired the old Meal Theater, the little theater in Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the studio and recorded a demo CD with two songs. So on this Tuesday afternoons, when we can get out of the boarding school, I walk from house to house, and then I knock on the door, and then this old Tony opened the door, and then I said, listen, on Saturday I'm doing a little show in the old Meal Theater. Do you want to buy a ticket? And he said, what do you sing? What do you sound like?
It must
like?
Have been 25 rand.
Yeah. It was like 15 rand, I think. And then she said, how do you sound? Then I got my little radio in my hand, portable radio with batteries, and I press play. I said, this is how I sound. And then I play them the two songs.
Okay, play a song. Let's just go there.
And then they buy the ticket.
And they bought the ticket. Let's see. Let's listen to this. Tibby Yostam. This is CliffCentral.com. My name's Alan Ford, in for Casper De Vries.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. Oh, I want to hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived. I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. Darling, if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. And if it's quite alright, I need you, baby, to warm a lonely night. I love you, baby. Trust in me when I say, oh, pretty baby, don't bring me down, I pray. Oh, pretty baby, now that I've found you, stay. So let me love you, baby. Let me love you. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. Oh, I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. It's quite alright, I need you, baby, to warm a lonely night. I love you, baby, trust in me when I say, oh, pretty baby, don't bring me down, I pray. Oh, pretty baby, now that I've found you, stay. So let me love you, baby, let me love.
Tibby Yostam. Now, you know, it's lovely to listen, you know, because you meet Italian people, and the man's Afrikaans, and you know, you can hear that your resonance of your voice is Afrikaans. You know, it's but it's beautiful. Music is magic. So I've got a surprise for you, because I decided to bring a few surprises in, but because if we're talking about crooner music and magical music, I think we need a shot. We need some whiskey.
Yeah.
Whiskey, well, this time in the morning.
Why not? Well, who knows? They're podcasters, we can do anything.
I would say I smell something.
Something's going to come in. Don't worry, I've got a surprise. But Toby, coming back to your career, so going from dorp to dorp and doing what you do, the experience of people and what you do, What is the response? What do you love about what you share, how you share your gift?
I know what I loved is when I started singing, you've got agents and you've got record labels and people behind you, and they in the middle of Sandton, they tell you, no, the people won't like this and you must sing this and they won't love this. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to that, but as I traveled in the 10 years bars now, I've picked up, as the more that I do the stuff that I love and it comes from the heart, people really enjoy that. And especially the old music, the crooner music, people love that. Mm. And it's working so well for me. And since then, I've got a lot of projects that I've done. At the moment, I'm touring with a lady friend of mine, Ilse Louise. She's got a doctor's degree in music. And what we're doing different than other Afrikaans artists is we pack the car with 8 instruments, mm-hmm. from a piano to a cello, a saxophone, flutes, harmonica, accordion, everything. And then every song she plays another instrument.
Really?
Really. And the people just loved it. We just came back from a 3-week tour now. And they loved that because it's such a, mm-hmm. Lots of diversity in the show. And I'm doing the classical stuff, the older stuff. Then I've got another project that I'm doing with the famous Corlea Buerta. Everyone remembers her from the Lieflinger. Mm. But we've got a concept show that I put together. It's called Memories of Broadway. Mm-hmm. And we're doing all the big 2 hits from all the biggest musicals in the world. So we're starting the show with Phantom of the Opera.
Okay, start.
No, I can't sing
start
this time of the morning.
Come on.
No, I can't sing this.
Say you love me. Come on, sing it. Come on.
Will you play the Christine part?
Darling, we'll play any part. Go with it.
Say you love, you know I do.
See, beautiful, beautiful.
Love
beautiful.
Me, that's all I ask of you.
Loved it. You know, Duncan, stop. I'm in control of this microphone, please. So, Toby, I want to ask you this question. Going forward, where do you see your career and what are you going to do with it? Because, you see, I have to ask the question, and I think it's quite an important question. Are you going to become big, or are you going to become big when you're old? There's a reason I asked the question, because I will never forget this. Johnny Mathis always said, I only knew music when I was 40, 50, and then he became famous. So I asked the question, is we have got these fly-by-nights pseudo singers, and I keep using the word pseudo because they are fake singers. They have the musical abilities, but they go and they do this, it's like, you know, Nicki Minaj touch my booty thing, and I don't know, nothing wrong with her, but I'm just saying, like, touch my booty, whatever. But it's an important thing. So where are you going with this?
And people always raise their eyebrows when I tell them this, but I'm so scared of a hit song. I'm so scared I will.
Why?
I'm so scared that I will have a hit song, because the moment you get a hit song, the song becomes bigger than you. And I would never want people to remember me for a specific song. I want them to remember
the experience of
watching my shows, seeing me. So there's still a lot of music that I want to sing. And I'm working now on a DVD, more a spiritual gospel type of DVD, mm-hmm. that I'm doing with the orchestra.
Ooh, Louisa and you must meet.
So we're doing that now. That I'm going to launch early next year.
That's amazing.
That sounds good. And so there's so much music that I still want to sing. And it's endless. The box is big to choose music. So I don't want to be, I don't want to be an overnight success. I don't want to be a household name. I just want people, if you want quality music, if you want to go back to the old days where you look at someone singing with a suit on stage, taking you back, bringing emotions out when you were young, that's what I like doing.
Toby, personally, how's your life? Are you married?
No, I'm not married. I travel too much. There's no time for that. So I just released my new album. I was quiet for 5 years almost, because I discovered I can write in that 5 years.
Books,
yeah.
What are you writing about in your books?
Well, my first book was
I've read it, by the way.
Yeah, humorous short stories, but my second one was, I'd call it a travel motivational novel.
Explain.
Yeah. I lost my, 3 years ago, I lost my grandparents in 1 year from cancer. And I was in Cape Town at the airport and flying back to Joburg when I got the news. And I loved my grandmother. We were like soulmates. And I missed the flight because I was so, couldn't believe what I've just heard. And eventually I had to buy a new ticket. And as I walked to the sales office, I bought a ticket for Paris. And I got on that plane that night and I flew to Paris.
Paris.
Yeah. So the next morning, I was underneath the Eiffel Tower. My mum phoned me. I said, no, I'm in Cresta.
You'd lie. Yeah. You told her you're in Cresta.
Why does the phone ring so funny? I said, no, I don't know what's wrong with the networks again.
I'm in Cresta. Okay, but you're in Paris.
I'm in Paris underneath the Eiffel Tower.
I told you I'll bring you magical people on earth. Come.
So there I stand trying to run away from my problems. And I said to myself, you have to come back. You have to go back to make up for this thing you just did. And you must do something.
Why Paris? Why the Eiffel Tower? What was the connection?
I just love Paris. I don't know everything about Paris.
I love Paris in the...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In the springtime.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I decided I'm going to go back. I'm going to write a book to inspire other people. And I wrote that book about a grandfather who's busy dying and his grandson sitting in his bed asking me all these questions, that his life lessons that he's learned in life.
What are those questions?
No, all of it's a lot of things about normal life. How to
give me the two most important questions that the grandfather asked his grandson.
No, the grandson asked the questions.
Grandfather. What are the two most important questions?
The first thing would be, when you're young, you've got so much issues, and he would ask his grandfather how not to listen to critics, not to that other people stand in your way of success, just to how to live your life, how to be happy, what makes you happy in life. Because when you're young, you think it's money, but when you speak to an old man, it's different things. It's family, it's love, it's
his great loves
and stuff, yeah, like that. So yeah, beautiful stories in the book about that.
On that note, I tell you, we're going to have some whiskey, I think, and I'm going to tell you now how we're going to start this thing, because this is how you bring in magical moments with people. But before we do this, I need to ask this question with you. You also have had controversy in your life, in some sense. the magazines have written stuff. Most of it's nonsense. I know we've discussed this before. Would you like to clarify that very quickly for me for 1 second? All I would like to ask you is does it detract when people talk about Turbo Jurster and a Porsche? All right. Which is only a car, or some stupid thing like that. Why should that detract from your music and who you are? And would the grandson ask the grandfather, a bigger question?
Alan, that doesn't touch me at all. I don't read that. If I'm in the magazine, I don't, because I think...
Because you have been.
Yes.
And the Bild and the Burger and all the stuff you've...
People
I've
like
read it before.
People
they
like
love
to
it.
Gossip,
they
yeah. But my...
They make shit. And we can say it's uncensored, but that's my cock. I talk nonsense.
My thing is, I never comment on anything like that, because I believe people who read tabloids deserve to be lied to. If you want to buy stuff like that, you must believe what you read. So yeah, that's why I will never comment on stuff like that.
Okay. Mm. And that's why I had to, because at least when this interview is done, it's at least been answered, the question.
My grandmother also always taught me, she said, the best thing about a newspaper is it cleans up windows beautifully.
And the man has been in headlines, by the way, about silly things, and that's why I asked the question. Would you like to clarify anything about that?
No, not at all, because I don't care whatever they write. Because today I'm in the front page of the newspaper, tomorrow they will wrap fish and chips in it. Whatever.
Turbo Jurster is my very special guest, and I tell you, he is a crooner, a South African singer born in the Karoo. And he sings in Afrikaans, in English, and Italian. You can call us on 0861-555-189. This is cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford, standing for Casper de Vries. And it's always good to be on the radio and be with the peeps. But I tell you, I've got two very special guests who are going to put their headphones on, because I think that's quite critical, because we're going to taste some whiskey and we're going to do some special things. Selo Mabua and, of course, Morne Huerson are here from... Ikosfos.
Elikosfos.
It means a fat cow in Greek. Now, I'm not Greek, I'm Lebanese, but hey, you didn't have to insult me when you came into the studio, for God's sake. But they come to because we're doing crooner stuff and we're doing magical music, we're going to taste a bit of whiskey here. And of course, Turby, I'd love you to tell me what you think. Hanky Bannister. Now, this is quite a cool little thing here, this Hanky Bannister thing, 12 years. Yeah. Tell me about it, Cello.
Yeah, so Hanky Bannister is a Scottish blended whiskey. Mm-hmm. The unusual
name comes from a combination of two guys from the UK or from England. It's Buchanan, Beaumont, Hankey and Hugh Bannister. They established the brand in 1757, and their goal was to make a blend that is very palatable, very approachable, rich and smooth.
Now, of course, the history set of whiskey is from Ishkibaha.
Yes, the water of life.
Water of life. Indeed. Remember, they made a mistake with beer.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
The old Arabi, old Arabs, you know.
Yeah.
So they can't give it to the Scots and the Irish and all these fancy schmancies. It belongs to my people. And not the Greeks either. They were too busy doing ouzo and arak and rubbish.
Well, you know, the art of distillation came from Mesopotamia, which is, as you say, geographically is known as where Iraq is now.
Correct.
Yes, and beer is basically about 65% of what whiskey is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the result is then distilled, and then that will then be aged in a barrel, in an oak barrel.
Selan Mona, I must tell you, Toby Yoster, a crooner, and it's lovely to sit with a crooner and listen to great music and to actually enjoy whiskey.
Yes,
I think it's, you know, it's quite a lovely way to do stuff.
Mm.
Explain to me how should whiskey be drank?
Sure.
And I tell you why I asked the question. Because Duncan, come my darling, come stand this. Come take that microphone.
Yeah.
My old little Angie. I'll never forget this, you know. And he was a gentleman of note, and I'm not gonna mention his name.
Mm.
He was a high politician. And he walked in, and those days the fancy whiskey was Johnny Walker Blue. You know, that's what people drank when they thought they were fancy. They didn't really. That's what they did. Well, we all did that. You know, we were blackies, and we all. And the gentleman came up to the table. He was divine, and he put orange juice in the Johnny Walker Blue. Okay, I'm talking about 16 years ago.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody was horrified.
Hmm.
And this old Lebanese man got up and said, "Listen, my brother. Come here, doesn't matter. As long as you enjoy the damn thing.
Yeah.
I don't care how you take it. This is how we drink whiskey."
Sure.
Okay, but how should it be drunk? Because it is.
Mm.
It depends on your palate, depends on the water, depends on what you feel.
Yeah, so I'll take it from the master blenders themselves and the master distillers. They will tell you, as long as you bought your bottle of whiskey, you can enjoy it in any way that you want to.
Thank you, darling. Yeah. Isn't that what it's about? Hey?
Yeah.
Toby, I told you, just do your thing. Eh?
But that's a big sales trick. You buy my CD, I don't care if you like it, just buy it. Buy it for someone you don't like, just buy it.
No, so but that's what they'll say. But for the purists, and to gain the best and the best mileage out of this, and to reap the awards of what the master distillers and the master blenders are put to heart, is to have it, if you can have it neat, that'll be ideal, at room temperature, or with a splash of water at room temperature as well. That will allow you to enjoy the flavors that are in there, the nuances that will be unlocked by the water, the splash of water as well. You know, it has been aged 75% of the whiskey, and 100% of the color comes from a maturation process, and the tastes are quite subtle. So I mean, adding anything else but water will definitely change it, and it will have a great influence to it, especially when people have spent so much time and effort and their passion towards it.
But I must tell you, I love whiskey. I grew up on a wine farm, but I started drinking whiskey, and especially I love to cook with whiskey. You know, sometimes I even put it in the food.
What dishes? Isn't he gorgeous? This man, someone should marry him. Let's get him hitched.
I've got a nice recipe with 20 cloves of garlic in a whole chicken with some whiskey that you flambé it in quickly. And then at the end you put some creme fraiche with that garlic and some thyme. Oh, it's beautiful. I love it.
Remember, you can get a hold of us on 0861-555-189, and you can podcast this, and you can go to our Facebook page, and you're downloading these pods, and we're going to get that recipe onto Casper de Vries's Facebook page and our Cliff Central page, and that's how it works, because it's a fancy thing, isn't
just
it?
Just don't eat that garlic before you do your radio show, otherwise
the
ones who's doing the show after you will have a hard time in these microphones.
I'm going to say something that Hankey Bannister, it's a new whiskey, it's a new brand. I don't know the brand, guys, but I've got to tell you, it's quite lacquer.
Yes.
It really is quite cool.
Yes.
And
quality.
And you can taste it.
You can taste the quality.
What do you think, Duncan? Duncan, what does Duncan know? You know, we just slap him around. He just. What do you think, Dunks?
It's very easy.
It goes down very well. Mm-hmm. Not too strong, not too light.
What does that mean?
Sure.
Sela, please help Duncan. Yeah, so it's not too strong. It's not too light. It's damn hard whiskey.
Yes.
You see, because we all... You know what I love?
Yeah.
We all think we know stuff.
I tell Duncan it's whiskey, not Black Label.
Darling, this is the real stuff.
Yeah. I can feel it.
Just kidding, Duncan. You know?
So he's actually testing exactly what the Hanky Bannist, the two Mrs. wanted to do. The five single malts that I used are from Inverhouse. It will be a Speyburn, Old Pulteney, Bull Blair, Balmannach, and Annock. They're all known to be very easy drinking from the Highlands and space out of Scotland.
All out of Scotland,
yes. Yes, from the Highlands of, and also space out of Scotland. Very easy, approachable, fruity, middle body. And then the grain part of it will come from the Lowlands of Scotland, which is known to make a very, very soft grain whiskey and single malt as well.
Now, Sela, we've met before.
Yes.
And we've met at Whiskey Brothers in Hyde Park.
Yes.
Listen, you're a bit of a sales guy. Come on. You're going to get a hard question here.
Yeah.
Irish or Scotch?
Well.
It's about time we ask it.
Both. Both are great. They're both different.
Why? What makes the two whiskies so different?
Different, yeah.
Because this is all Scotch.
Mm. So single malt is traditionally known as a way that the Scotch make whiskey. Mm-hmm. They do a double distillation process, which then makes the whiskey more robust. At the same time, will allow it to be more complex and have a longer finish, more mm-hmm. body to it. Mm-hmm. However, the Irish like a triple distillation, which make for a smoother, in inverted commas, but it's a delicate, and they call it a single pot still. So it's not 100% malted body like a single malt would be. It'll be a portion of it that is malted and another portion that is not malted, but still barley. Traditionally and not officially, they use a 40% malted content and a 60% not malted. And then they triple distill it, which will, if you get it right, and they do get it right, it still creates a smoother whiskey, but with a bit of depth to it.
Because so exactly, Duncan says it feels smooth.
Yes.
Which is
yes.
I was correct.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, you're a genius, huh? We just love you. You know, I'm going to slap you now or tomorrow? Or should I bring some easy to take care of you? Honey, please.
Yeah.
But it's lovely to ask the question. Because the way you taste it and the way you feel it is the way that it's meant to be to be done.
Yeah, so the difference will be between single malt and single pot still would be that 100% malted barley, and the single pot still has got a ratio of unmalted and malted
barley. You brought three whiskies into the studio.
Indeed.
Okay, what are they? Please take me through this.
So the first one is Hanky Bannister, 12-year-old.
That's the one we're tasting.
Yes, that's the one we're tasting. The second one.
It retails for
about between 250 and 280.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Wow. Not bad at all. Nice whiskey.
Beautiful
whiskey. Yeah.
We should go and have whiskey sometime, you and I.
I think so.
Because you're a crooner. You know, I like your music.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know that much about whiskey, but this 12-year-old, I think this tastes like Marilyn Monroe.
And
he's just divine. He's quite cute. The next one is?
The next one is Speyburn 10-year-old, mm-hmm. which a portion of that 10-year-old has been in that Hanky Bannister. It's one of the five single malts that are in that hanky.
Really? Huh?
Yes, yes. And then Hanky Bannister is also from Speyside, the distillery that makes about 2 million litres per year. And they've got two core expressions, which is the Broden Auric and the 10-year-old. Very soft as well. You're getting a bit of apple, more of the apple and the citrus notes coming through. Mm. Also the floral notes and the vanilla and spice and nuts. And then
Sela, Mornay, I have to. You know, we respond to people that contact us, 0861-555-189. And I've got to respond to Sally. Sally says, whiskey makes me horny. Why? It's there. I promise you, come look at it. In case I'm just.
I think it's.
Whiskey makes me that.
You must tell her it's the amount that she takes that makes her horny. It's not the whiskey.
Well, it could be the company that she's keeping as well. So the moment. Yes.
Sally, we've responded to your question. We've got Sela. Mornay, by the way, are you going to open your mouth or were you just sitting here for fun?
No, I'm enjoying the whiskey. Yeah.
Lovely. Guys, so you've gone through the second one, and the third whiskey is a young whiskey.
The third one is actually the oldest. Is also the older one. It's a 12-year-old as well. single malt. So the first one is a 12. Hanky Bannister. Spare Burn is a 10.
You know, it shows you. We don't know. We know shit about this stuff. Anyway,
The Enoch is also owned by Inverhouse.
Where's my thing? Give me that Enoch bottle. This is a good whiskey.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
I've got a bottle here for you, Alan.
Turby Houston, he's a crooner.
Yeah.
Listen, we're about to end the end of this podcast, but we're going to continue in a moment's time. I'll tell you what, we've got this Enoch. It is one of the most beautiful, beautiful whiskies.
Looks like liquid gold.
It is liquid gold. Mm. This is the Cusper DeFish Show, and I'm filling in for him. My name is Alan Ford. It's cliffcentral.com. Thank you, Sally, for your message. Whiskey makes me horny. I hope it does. After Jonty and the sex show, you never know what you're going to get. That being said, we've got little Annie and the team coming in a moment's time. But we're going back to the crooner, and we'll come back after this.
This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com. And this is the Cusper Rusper Show, and my name's Alan Ford. Welcome to the second hour of the magic of the Cusper Rusper program. In studio, we have our very special guest, Turby Houston. Crooner, South African singer, Italian. The man's got it. You can sing, boy.
Thank you, Alan. It's such a privilege to be here with you.
And it's lovely to be here. And also, we're discussing whiskey and wonderful things with Cello Mabua and, of course, Morne Huisen. And we're discussing the magic of whiskey and music and the whole. You know, Frank Sinatra didn't walk around without a glass of whiskey. And a good song, and making romance. Yeah. Romance. Okay, that's what I think. Whiskey, crooner, magic, it's all the same thing. Turby, coming back to the word of romance, when you go from dorp to dorp, as you do, what do you love about people's appreciation of music?
I just like to... Because of the type of music that I do, it's not the music that you hear on radio every day and see on TV every day. So,
may I interject? Yeah. I need to ask this question because it's quite weird. I love the fact that 702 has a solid gold Sunday or solid gold Saturday, because a lot of the time I'm tired of hearing the crap on radio. It's a lot of crap.
Oh yeah, of course.
It's boom, 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 and. Squeeze my booty and touch my titty, and I don't know what you want to do with all these things that you want to touch. And shout. You know, Duncan, we got to think about this stuff. So, old school music. I mean, I'm yet to see someone go doom, 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 doom to their wedding song. When they do that, I'll then say there's no art to music.
Now, to come back to your question, Alan, is what I've picked up, because I grew up in the Karoo, I lived in Joburg, so I know best of both worlds. The media, the radio, TV, everything tried to push new things into people's throats. Mm-hmm. Then you get the real people out there. It's like watching cooking shows. They've got all these fancy things, and then you get to Bloemfontein, and the Tannie tells you, she said, listen, all that ingredients on TV, it looks beautiful, we love watching it, but we don't even find it here in the local grocery store, so we will make another Malfa pudding. So you've got real people, and you've got things that people see on TV or hear on radio. So yeah, you hear this new music, you listen to all these funny things, but when you get there, they want you to sing That's Amore, because that's the song they got engaged in the 50s on. And bring back the memories. That's real people. And I want to sing for real people. I don't want to start taking my clothes off just to be on the Oscars or stuff like that.
Well, we'll get people to take off clothes in a moment. That being said, I want to come back to whiskey, because whiskey is a similar thought pattern. Mm. You
indeed.
When you fall in love,
yes,
with a bottle of whiskey,
yeah,
it'll be your bottle of whiskey generally for life.
Yeah, if you fall in love with whiskey in total, there's a lot.
The whole concept.
Of, yes, 100%. Yeah, it's something that it becomes very personal. It's a relationship that you have. It's generally when people speak about whiskey, they don't really speak about what whiskey they had, but they speak about the company that they were keeping that time or the occasion.
I must share a story, if I may, because this is not interpersonal stuff. But you know, I've had many. I'm from a Lebanese family, and the Lebs and the church, it's all about whiskey, like the Greeks. It's very similar. But here's something that's quite incredible, because we had a fancy wedding, my brother's wedding.
Yes.
And I said, Mommy, but we must get champagne on the table. She said, are you insane? We don't drink that. Bring that JC rubbish. We want Johnny Walker. We want the best whiskey on every two bottles on all the tables. Jack or okay, so it's not Hanky Bannister, because now we're only learning about this. Don't worry, this will be on our table soon. But do you understand?
Yes.
The point of the matter is there's a culture.
Yes.
With men.
Yes.
And whiskey.
Yeah.
And music.
Yeah.
And their wives.
Yeah.
And a little glass of wine occasionally for the ladies,
yeah.
Or a little whiskey to say night.
Yes.
And there's a tradition around it.
Yeah.
There's a heritage. Yeah. Okay. It's a very different heritage, if I may say, from our Afrikaans cultural community. That's a brandewijn, a burnt wine, but it's a similar type of thought pattern.
Yeah, but also I would like to interject there, because now South Africa, we are officially in the top 5 single malt consumers in this country.
Really, huh?
And the whiskey, the idea of only men has gone out, because there's a lot of women enthusiasts that are making a name out there and that are loving the brand. And so whiskey is fantastic all across the board, and it's been it's been great to see.
And I've got a beautiful story to tell you about my grandmother again. Just before she died, a few years before that, she had problems with her heart. So the doctor advised her every night before she went to bed, she must have a nice shot of whiskey with milk. That will make her sleep good, and it's good for the heart. I don't know why. That maybe the doctors will tell us why. But she don't drink. So she suffered with this whiskey at night. So the one morning at 8, she phoned me, but she sound drunk. I said, Granny, what's wrong? You sound drunk.
Oh, Mom, what is
she said, she told me, I'm sitting on my bed, and I'm looking at this glass, and I thought the doctor said I had to drink it. So it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and I just downed the thing just to get it over and done with. So she was drunk 8 o'clock in the morning. She's 73 years old. Just because the doctor says you had to. It's such a funny whiskey story.
But it's a cute story.
It's a cute story, yeah.
And I want to tell you, it's wonderful how it's integrated into all markets. And I'm going to, bridge the divide again. But it's amazing that when I speak about the story about the guy that put orange juice that premium whiskey, what was quite incredible is that gentleman now owns part of the whiskey company.
Yes.
And it's integrated white, black. It's because it's nice to sit and have a whiskey.
100%.
Former President Thabo Mbeki used to go, let me have a whiskey and let's have a discussion over a table.
100%.
Or a glass of wine, depending on how you sit.
On your choice.
But a whiskey, and you want to sit and have a conversation, it's the most beautiful thing to do.
It is.
And the presidents throughout the world have sat with whiskey.
Yes.
They certainly don't sit with vodka downing things and Red Bull. Definitely not.
Yeah.
So
yeah, especially if it's something that you need to take time on, because as I said, the tastes can be very subtle, and you need to listen to it as well. It's quite a personal thing.
Oh, now, hold on. Now, Cello is very clever here. Now we have to listen to whiskey. Now we've got to listen to it. Explain what we're listening to.
You're listening.
Hold on. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He wants us to listen to the whiskey. What are we listening to?
So listening to it, basically, for me, what it means is that I will put a dram in there. It's a generous amount, generally just over 2 tots, and spend about 35 minutes with the whiskey, nosing it, having a sip, nosing it, having a sip, seeing how it changes from time to time, and getting all the subtleties, getting all the tastes, and assuming tastes. And that's what listening to it is to me.
Guys, I want to thank you very much. This is phenomenal whiskey. I want to go, I want to end quickly. This is, it's from the Highlands of Scotland.
Yes.
And I thank you. But I want to tell you that if you get a hold of us, and if you download our app, I'm going to make sure these guys are going to get you. Should we do it? Like, guys, what can you do? A whole case? You got to do it yourself. I don't have time for it. We need 3 bottles of the best.
If they throw in 3 bottles, I'll throw in 3 CDs.
3 CDs, 3 bottles.
Perfect.
Download the app, cliffcentral.com.
Yes.
And guys, thank you. It's wonderful. Hanky Bannister. I want to tell you this. How do you say the name?
Enoch. Silent Enoch, C.
Yeah. I know, there's a Silent C.
Yes.
It's like the sun. I was going, Enoch. But I've got to tell you.
And that's Abram.
You're very silly, my friend.
Yeah.
It's ANC. And then who's going to knock you out? I must speak to the president. It's the ANC.
This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com. My name's Alan Ford, in for Casper de Vries. Whiskey tasting, crooner music, and now let's get to some sexy magic. I've got to tell you, I had the pleasure
gentlemen, by the way.
And ladies.
Excuse me.
You can't just talk to ladies and gents.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them. May I please?
Please, go ahead.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I had the pleasure 15 years ago to invite a certain person onto... Yes, take your hats off, by the way.
Thank you. Okay, no problem.
Okay. And it was one of the most magnificent journalists in South Africa. His name's Yusuf Abramji. And what ended up happening was... we created a Talk at 9 program that was all around taking your clothes off and your sexuality and your and stripping. And we brought Jay into studio. And then this fabulous person who'd been in the industry for 15 years arrived. And she was cuter than shit. I must tell you, she walked into studio. I'll never forget this. I was producing it. And we were intrigued because we had... Now, it's a radio studio. Someone said, why would you allow people to take their clothes off on radio? Because they don't really... No one can... Yeah. Taking your clothes off doesn't really... It's not really about that. But having little Annie coming back 15 years later when we're going to have this conversation... By the way, boys, he can't beat this, sir. You can't beat this. The courts tried... Oh, well, she tried with the courts. and I must tell you, more beautiful than ever, cuter than better, little Annie is in studio. Welcome, my little darling.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
So, gentlemen,
Alan,
that's why I said you had to hush, 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 darling.
I will hush.
Because you're quite stunning. Anyway, we go back to that. Oh, look at that. It's so beautiful. I'm still excited. Oh, Jonathan... Duncan has left the studio. Jonathan's in, and Johnny,
he's blushing.
Jonathan doesn't really blush that much. Trust me, we've been through hell and back. So, Annie, welcome back. So many years later.
Come on, Annie, you can do it. We all believe in you, by the way. We all believe in you.
30 years in the business. Let me just tell you, I will never forget that day in studio on a Talk at 9 show on a Friday night. And Yusuf said to me, "I'm a Muslim." And I said, "Well, this is what I produced for you." One of my first productions that I ever produced, shows 16 years ago, little Annie came into studio. We had people taking their clothes off, and the poor Rena Broomberg, who is the head of Cliff Central, okay, said, "What the hell are you doing? And why are you doing it in my radio time?"
Alan, but we all did I can it. Say is thank you so much for putting me on air that night 16 years ago.
Yes,
of course I remember that night 16 years ago. I'm still here, and I can just say thank you very much for putting me on air and actually making name little Annie out there.
Well, little Annie, you started in Port Elizabeth back in the day. That was 14 years before that.
1985.
I was seven.
Long time
30
ago.
30 years though, today. Well, this
listen,
month.
Boys, hush. Please, just
30
quite,
years
please,
this hush. Month, eh? This is little Annie's 30th year.
The little 30th year, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I'm at Sexpo.
And you're doing Sexpo. And
yes.
And you're kind of controlling Sexpo in some sense because, you started
yes.
If we go back, let's go back. Come on, let's begin the game. You were in the industry, and let me make this very clear. It's about people. It's about sensuality. This is not about selling your bodies. This is not about street people. This is not nothing wrong with those people. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's a need for everyone. This is about sexuality and stuff.
And entertainment.
And entertainment. And a lot of fun.
Yes.
And if you remember when I gave you the brief 16 years ago, I asked the question because it's the most important question. Why do we as men, straight men in particular, I'm not straight, but we go off to strip clubs for our bachelor parties?
So that you can feel like a man and have fun and just have a good time.
It's a little boys club. That's all it's about. Because if you wanted to do something seedy, you wouldn't go to a strip joint.
No, you'd rather go to a brothel.
Exactly. You would end up, correct.
Getting shagged.
Yeah. Well, or shaking, depending how you see it.
Okay.
But you understand. So there's always been that world that I was, what I was doing back in the day was trying to explain to people that, because I didn't want to feel guilty about going with my mates, to a strip joint, even though I really wasn't really looking at those titties. Seriously wasn't. But the point of the
and
whole
just
experience.
And remember, you were double, triple your size those years?
I was big, baby. Oof,
you were
honey.
Double the size, triple? Come on, be honest. Triple? Double, there we go.
Mm. Oh, but still.
It's awesome. Well done.
Fair, man.
It's congratulations.
But you know what? Can I tell you what, a secret? Little Annie, you ain't the smallest, but I tell you, nor am I. But
fit I am.
But can I tell you, I always came right. They were always hot, baby. Rugby players, honey, that's what we hit. That all being said, I'm proud of you, and I mean, you've been in this industry for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and you've seen people come and go, and you've seen the best strippers in the world. You've seen, and this is why I'm discussing this particular topic, because taking your clothes off and being sensual and having fun is two different things from, and it's kind of a part of the sex world, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is, but it's great. It's much more fun, and the people enjoy being entertained. So the more entertainment you can give them, the better for them.
Okay. Little Annie is back.
Yes.
30 years later.
Yes.
Johnny, Little Annie was one of these characters of note. Now, Little Annie, what would you like us to play for you to do this?
My boy lollipop.
Ooh. My boy lollipop.
You may have my known song. People love that song.
Now we'll find it. Don't worry. We're on it. We'll get it for you, and we'll do that. But 30 years later, what have you learned about it? About this business?
It's quite a strange thing, because if you look back 30 years ago, I mean, people would stare at you and wonder, what are you doing on stage? Look at you. Look at your size. And then the second song, they start accepting you. The third song, they basically, okay, she's all right. Fourth song, they're clapping. The fifth song, they loving you. And then they want more. But as the years are going by, they're accepting you much quicker, much faster. So people are definitely accepting larger, older people. So I've really noticed that the change in the society, how can I put it? They started to accept people from all ages and sizes. Mm. I've also obviously learned that people don't always appreciate what they see, embarrassment, but the blinkers have definitely been dropped. People's have blinkers, they? The blinkers have gone. Well, they're starting to disappear.
Mm. You know, it's interesting because I did an interview with Peter Dirk Ace, and then Evita arrived because she hates Peter Dirk. But and you will never believe that the world has changed in 20 years that no one will understand.
Mm-hmm.
No one will understand that. A man in a dress would have been the weirdest thing. A fat person taking their clothes off would have been odd.
It was okay, disgusting.
Anyone, any woman taking their clothes off was a bad person.
Headlines in all the newspapers doing a little strip in Port Elizabeth at the university. I was in such trouble. But these days, every university that has a fundraiser books me, uses me for that. But 15, 20, 30 years ago, I was in big, big trouble because I did that. I mean, I slapped somebody with my boob. Those days was public indecency. These days it's ha-ha, do it again.
You know, Peter Dirk explained, as Peter Dirk does, that when they locked him up because he had a black boyfriend, the world has changed.
Oh, definitely.
Now we can do whatever we want to on Earth.
Nearly.
Well, with
close. These, we're getting there.
Yeah, well, not with the respect of boundaries. And,
yes. And so
this is the point. Where is the boundaries when it comes to taking your clothes off?
Well, it depends on your size and where you're working and what you're doing. I mean, if you're a normal sexy stripper and you're working at, for example, you know, if you're working at the Summit or if you're working at Teasers or et cetera, you can go nude. You can show what you've got. You can bend over. You can show what you had for breakfast, et cetera. But if you look at my kind of show, if I would ever remove my frilly Brooks, it just wouldn't be me, or it wouldn't be Little Annie. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be funny. It goes over to sex. So my show, I'll always wear double caps. Well, I say hubcaps.
Have you got them on, by the way?
No, I didn't put them on today, sorry.
Oh.
It was like too sticky. Not today. And then the Brooks. So that's what I would go down to, is nipple caps and Brooks. But the normal sexy, pretty girls is nudity, nakedness.
Is that okay?
It's fine. It's beautiful. The guys love it. And as long as they don't start misusing and abusing it. I mean, there obviously are shows like sex shows, and there are shows with vibrators, and there are shows out there, especially private functions, etc., behind closed doors. Or in certain clubs, you know, they do allow it. You know, I would say the Summit Club would allow a little bit more than Teasers would. So it's different. you know, also lesbian shows and stuff. That's also quite common these days.
Well, I want to tell you, I decided to go to a strip show in New York City. It's quite interesting. I'm going to divulge a few secrets because this is what we do, because we're honest. And I couldn't believe what they were doing. Men, seriously. Men, I mean, they were like gripping stuff. You know, it was, I thought, this is Fourth Avenue. I mean, surely you don't do this. Surely we don't do. I was intrigued. Where do people that take their clothing off put the boundary?
It's up to them. It's really up to them. Mm-hmm. Only you can decide the boundaries for yourself.
Confidence.
You know, it's all about your confidence and what you look like and what you want to do. It's your decision. Nobody in this world will force you to do ping pong balls, razor blades, do a dog, do a cat, do a sheep, if that's not what you're comfortable with. Do what you're comfortable with and what you're good at doing. Mm-hmm. I'm a great entertainer. I have so much confidence.
You've always been that. You've always
on
been.
Stage, I am great. I know I am. You've
always been a great entertainer.
And behind a mic, I love being on a mic. It's just...
It's awesome. It's awesome. And you speak beautiful, so...
Thank you.
You get it. So, little Annie, you don't move without your boys.
I try not to, not because I need backup, because I think you saw earlier, I was actually beating this one up. No. I do go for a little bit of boxing lessons, but I do love my boys. I tease hers, or you can book them through Showstoppers. They're gorgeous, gorgeous boys. They do great shows. They're not just male strippers. They actually have shows.
Okay.
And this is what I like about these two that I've brought today. They've got shows. You know, it's not just go out there, take your clothes off, swing your hips, rub your abs and leave. They dance, they jump poles, they do fire, they do something.
Okay. Please introduce the boys.
All right. To my left, we have Z. And to the right, we have Jack.
Jack and Z, huh?
How's it?
How you boys?
Always good.
How you doing?
Always happy, huh? Always happy.
It's Friday.
See, it hasn't been a happy day for you because Annie gave you a good crack.
This weekend was, last night, like you can see here, was a bit of a,
So tell me, you guys work at Tease Hers?
Yes, Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay, because it's operating in those times. Okay, and what do you do at Tease Hers? Because, hold on, let me not be completely and utterly stupid. But, I mean, of course I know how a man takes his clothes off, generally. But I'm just intrigued, who goes to Tease Hers?
Girls, guys,
couples, ladies, couples, groups, bachelorettes, parties.
Birthday parties, divorce parties. Mm.
Is it more ladies or more men?
Wow. 90% women, 10% men. Yeah. And then we do have our gay nights once a month on either Wednesday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. We will advertise it just before. So we are open to the gays as well. Gays, transsexual, bisexual, isexual, whatever you are.
Trisexual.
Or trisexual. You know, it's like me. I'm trisexual. I try anything that comes my way. No, just joking. Tease Hers is basically open to anybody who really would like to come and see what a male strip is all about.
Okay, what is a male strip?
Let's
ask the boys.
Okay, let the boys answer.
Okay, Jack, come.
Okay, it's about enticement, luring.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to seduct them in a way that to believe that they are everything there and to hear what they want to hear. Not just come there and make them force us to do lap dances and body shots and that.
Loves whispering in the ears.
Sorry. Yes, I love the whispering. Because they don't want everyone to hear what I'm saying now to this client. You have to make them believe that they're the only one there.
Is it a client?
You call them all clients.
Yeah.
The customers are your clients.
Okay.
You can't entice them as say, okay, you're just a regular or something.
So you're not going there to touch her boobs?
No.
You're there to do a job?
To do my job.
What's the job?
The job is to convince them that they should take me for a lap dance or to stay longer at Teaser so they can drink more and enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. It's not like a normal place where you go to get these drunk guys hanging all over there and wanting to buy them alcohol and wanting to take them home. Mm-hmm. Our job is to make sure that they come back again. So it's not like flirtatious, but not bed inviting.
Jack, I'm going to ask you an important question. Does your mother know what you do?
My mother got me into this. She says I'm a quiet child.
His sister as well.
Yes, I've got six sisters. I'm the second youngest.
Really, huh?
Yes.
And Z?
On Facebook, everybody knows about it, yeah. So if I am from the Vulture Angle. I'm in Mayerton.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had an event there about a year and a half ago, okay? And the girl's like, yeah, that's him, sorry, that's him.
If he drinks more, he doesn't stutter.
But it's
somehow he doesn't stutter drinking.
Guys,
normally.
Stammer's a stammer. We get over it. I'm so.
No, this is why I keep pressing.
But women love that stutter. You've seen at a club. Women love it.
Yeah, but yes.
But he doesn't stutter at the club, strangely enough. I don't know why he doesn't, but he doesn't.
No, it's nervous. It's a studio. It's different. It's a different environment. It happens. Don't worry.
It's for everything,
yeah. Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, baby. I'll kiss your neck again.
Do you do it again? Come on.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to entertain Sally's questions. Sally has stupid questions that
ask away.
Come on,
darling.
Sally,
I'm not going to ask. Sally says whiskey makes me horny, and I'm not going to discuss why it makes her horny. But she just clearly is on a buzz at the moment.
Come to teasers.
Come to teasers.
Come to teasers.
We open tonight from 8.
I haven't been there. We've seen each other time immemorial, forever. Okay, we've been friends many, many years. I haven't been there. Is it weird? Like, no, if I arrive there, would it be
weird
strange?
For you? Because you'll come and meet me. Mm-hmm. I'll sit with you at your table. Mm-hmm. We'll have a shot or two, a drink or two.
And do the guys just take their stuff off?
They will remove all their clothing on stage. So you don't have to look. And if you want them to take their clothes on.
We
want to
look.
What a waste of
the world.
On stage there is full nudity. Mm-hmm. And then obviously if you book a lap dance or a full Monty table dance, there will be nudity. So it's up to you if you want to see dick or not.
Torti, let's do this. Johnny, welcome to the show. This is cliffcentral.com. There's a lot of stuff. We're going to do something in the moment. It's, I'm starting to blush. Things are coming off.
Take it off.
Okay, let's do my little boy lollipop. And John, will you please do explain what's going on here? Go.
So one item of clothing has come off. I see leather pants that are torn. Okay.
Oh, all right,
the leather jackets are coming off.
I never let you go.
Alan is tapping asses.
And Annie, it's not.
It comes to lap dance your way.
Okay, Alan's gonna get his lap dance.
You don't see live music for us.
Come, Annie, I need you here for this one. Boys, geez, let me just do. Thank you. But Annie, come on, do something more. Show some boobs or something. Show some bum. I love you, I need you. All right, boys, take it off. Okay, so the boys are also showing their things. This is for John. No. John wants to see.
This is for Alan.
I can't believe we did Kroon of Whiskey. You know, I'm a serious guy. yeah.
Is this going on Periscope?
Check. I don't know what.
This better not be on Periscope.
But he's lovely. Why so many tattoos, Charles? I want to ask you what this is all about. Now, I'm so happy that that John is in the studio, boys. Because I really want to watch you sit with John. Yeah. Okay, can we have some music, please, Johnny?
Hey, wait, I just got people on my lap. Hang on. We're getting there.
By the way, the Clip Central app launches at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. But we're going to have some music. This is cliffcentral.com. What are you doing?
You wanted music.
Is this type of music? What's music? Dance? What is this?
This is Black Eyed Peas.
Okay, boys.
What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside
you. Good boys. Did you let jump off my
hump? Okay, I reached my exposure limits.
Yeah. Welcome back to clipcentral.com. You know, I must tell you, Rena Broomberg always gave us leeway, but you will never believe. Oh, I've got a sucker. We're going to suck something tonight.
Okay, here you go, guys. All having fun now, what?
Oh, really? Mm. You know, someone needs to know who's the toughie in this house. So, boys, let's talk. Jack and Z, I've had a little hot flush. How do you feel, Johnny? It's a bit...
feel fine. A little uncomfortable. But fine.
A little uncomfortable.
We'll give you some lessons later, don't you?
Really? So how do lessons work?
Well, Annie teaches lessons.
Really?
Annie? To all, learn to tease.
To tease?
Yes.
That's my other business. Learn to tease.
Learn to tease.
Learn to tease.
Can you teach men how to?
Yes, I can do men and women. And you know what's strange this afternoon?
Well, we have a lovely
subject. I'm teaching drags today.
He's not a drag.
No, but he could be.
I think we should teach John something. So, John, will you please just try?
What are you teaching me?
How to tease.
But this come. No, no. You'll have to come when we're alone. We do it.
Oh, is it?
It's a 2-hour session. Mm. We do it at Tease Hers upstairs. You pre-book with me. We do it a whole 2 hours. I'll
what
show you
cost?
How to tease. It's R400 for 2 hours. You normally do 4 sessions.
And are you public. Do it one on one?
I prefer doing it one on one. Sometimes I do 2 or 3 dances from teasers at the same time. Sometimes they don't want to come alone, so we do 2s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still the same rate. Then I put a show together for you, and then I'll tell you how to dance for your partner when you get home, how to do a private lap dance in the privacy of your own home. And just how to be sexy and how to deal with the public.
We might be coming up to a commercial break. It might be happening because, of course, this is cliffcentral.com where the magic happens. The app is launching shortly. And we hope... Have you guys got this app yet?
Not yet.
What's wrong with you people? You're taking your clothes with me. Tell the people about it. Please.
It takes a lot to realize what apps are. We're too busy enticing women. When they do the apps, we can see from their phones.
We'll see how you entice. 0861-555-189 at cliffcentral.com. And of course, this is the Casper Rasper show. And it's been such a great show. We've had whiskey, we've had crooners, we had singers. And now we've got little Annie, who is like the queen of all. And we've got men taking their clothes off. Well, they haven't completely yet, but we'll see how it goes for the next 24 minutes. You never know, honey.
WeChat. Go to the Cliff Central account, tap connect, then message to show. Keeping it real on cliffcentral.com.
It's back. Are you Jawsy Tough? Cycle through tunnels, head over floating bridges, and disappear into colossal stormwater drains. Why? Because you're a machine, and the city is your trail. With 2 separate routes, 22 and 54 Ks, choose your path and go where no mountain biker has gone before. On 6 September, ride the Hollard Juma. Brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Challenge accepted. Juma.co.za.
At iStore, we love Apple stuff, but we're only human. Sometimes we drop our iPhones on the road, face down, and it makes us sad. That's why we came up with iCare Plus, a nifty little product exclusive to iStore for when stupid things happen to good people with awesome phones. It'll have your beloved iPhone covered for water, screen, and physical damage. So come to iStore. Why would you go anywhere else? Visit myistore.co.za for more info. T's and C's apply.
Flying fish now has even more flavor.
Wow! More flavor!
Huh?
Hey!
Whatcha doing?
Bring even more flavor!
All right! Introducing new chilled green apple.
Chilled green apple!
It's a beer with all the bitterness brewed out and green apple flavor brewed in.
I said the flavor's brewed in.
Go on, add some flavor.
Don't mind if I do.
Enjoy responsibly. Not for sale to persons under the age of 18.
Jawsy's toughest mountain bike adventure just met its match. Introducing the first ever Jawsy Urban Trail and Obstacle Run on 5 September. Enter the 12 or 18K Urban Adventure or challenge your friends to the 6K Fun Run. Whether you want a pure trail run or a fun-filled obstacle race, the choice is yours. The Hollard Jura, brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Enter at jawsyadventure.co.za.
Clips Central cameos on cliffcentral.com.
I'm in for Casper de Fris, and this is a happy Friday. TGIF. You know, Gareth always says, thank God it's Friday, boys. And little Annie's in the studio, and we're discussing, well, all about the world of entertainment. I guess, a very special world of entertainment, and when you take your clothes off for people. Boys, tell me, how far do we go?
In which ways do you...
Well, in terms of what you do.
Well, it's all in, like, a lap dance, okay? We all go for a lap dance, but Jesus, can I say that? Then we walk in there, put the girl down, dance three songs, okay? And then, yeah, there's no, like there's no penetration, anything there, okay? No sex, okay?
On the premises.
On the premises, yeah, on the premises.
Please, I have to just answer that question properly.
Okay.
At the club, we have rules, no sex. Obviously, if they do get booked out, there is, the rule states no sex. We do not book out sex. But who are we to tell you that you can't have sex if you go out with a customer or a person, have a party, get drunk? Both of you are motherless. It happens. We are natural. We are human. Things happen. Have a good time and go home. So I'm sure there is a lot of people that get booked out and have sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they don't actually have fingering or sucking or lipping or nipping or tucking inside a venue.
Okay. So what happens? Jack?
No, just try and entice him in a way that says, say they're sitting down there.
Have you got a girlfriend, Jack?
Which ones?
or a boyfriend. I don't know what, you know, whatever.
Come on, Jack, get out of the closet. Come on.
I'll get no closet. I was just straight. I'm straight. All male strippers are straight. You are very comfortable with that sexuality to convert to any person that comes in there.
Okay.
So we have to entice you, no matter woman, female, whatever, because it is a client. We look at you as one thing, it's a client. Our job is to make sure you enjoy it there. We don't treat you differently. You just do all get treated the same, but you guys have different perspectives of women, which is sexy in a guy.
Okay.
So what we do normally is we just do...
Have you got a partner?
No.
A girl in your life?
No, I've got friends with benefits.
Okay, we're going to get there now in a moment, but I'm just need... Okay, all right. How old are you now?
I'm 28.
Okay.
I'm a sub as well, yeah.
You're both 28 years old, okay? I just want to ask a few questions because I'm intrigued.
Yes,
no stress.
Okay.
So, no, certainly I'm not stressed. Let me ask the question. You're 28 years old. Have you had a girlfriend or a partner, and do they understand this business? Because I think it's hard. Guys, I think it's a very difficult thing to understand. I'm going to tell you why I tell the story. I went on a date for a couple of times with an international porn star. I did. And I liked him. We had liked each other. And then I couldn't believe when I started liking him that someone else was looking at it. It just freaked me the hell out. No, this is what happens. And that's why I asked the question. How do you bridge the divide, or do you have to both be in the industry, or, you know? So it's an important question.
Mostly I do date women in the same industry.
Okay.
Yes,
but because they would understand. Would you allow your girlfriend to take her stuff off and allow a guy to do stuff to her?
Never to her. But
but to you, yes.
No.
No, hold on.
I'm not a male escort.
I never said you're an escort.
I'm a male dancer. Okay? No touching.
But women do scratch and they kiss your neck and they do want to grab your nipples.
Guys,
he's asking, would you allow that?
It's not about an orgasm or somebody doing the full deed. It's not about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't. What I'm trying to say to you, I'm giving an extreme example. But I'm saying is that at what point do we all get okay with it? When does your girlfriend, when do you say it's okay?
Trust.
Just trust. Because you know what you're doing, she knows what she's doing.
It's never okay.
But it's always that little thing deep down inside that says...
Yeah, there's like inside that says something's going on.
So when you are in a relationship, you've got your boundaries to say, okay, now I'm a good bit of a good boy. But when you're single, you can go a little bit of a bad boy again.
Okay, all right. So let's talk to you, Jack, and both of you. How bad do you go?
Well, it depends on the mood. It depends on the client. Some clients just want a little good boy, so you impose yourself as a good boy. Some of them want a naughty little boy, so you impose yourself as a naughty boy. It's all what the client wants, but you have to learn this over time.
And what does this cost?
$500 for a lap dance. Okay.
No, hold on. What do you mean? Listen to what I'm asking you. So you're saying so we're on stage.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We're on stage. We're doing this thing. Taking our clothes off. We're doing this
show.
The show.
Yes.
And it's kept as a review. That's what you call a show. It's a review.
It's a review.
Okay. Now, all of a sudden, you think that she's quite a hot little lady, and she goes, okay, here's $5,000. I'd like to... You're single. I'm single. Let's go play.
After hours.
After hours, obviously. You understand that Annie has said that the rules are the rules.
But, yes. But it all depends on single or not single, okay?
No, it depends on how good looking she is.
No, yeah. Okay, all right. Jack, so, yeah. Z, yeah, you're quiet and Jack's going to play.
I have personally booked out Jack while being involved, very involved with a female of many years. I have personally booked him out for many nights for outbookings over the years. And what's happened at the outbookings, I don't know because I wasn't there. But he has never said no to an outbooking even when he was involved. So money does talk in this business.
Yeah. Does it talk, Jack?
Yes, it does talk. And plus, if the woman is hot enough, I just don't... She needs company. She's too busy in the lifestyle to have company.
So hold on. Z, you just keep quiet there. So Jack, you're telling me that for a price, okay, it's okay to kind of entertain a lady and she'd like you to...
Yes, because she's too busy for a lifestyle to have a relationship. So,
you happy to hit it?
Yes, I'm more than welcome to.
He's a complete slapper.
Okay, well,
slapper
I love him to bits.
I'm happy we're asking the questions because this is what it's about. And this is, again, no one's. You don't know who these people are. They're not on camera. But the most important thing is to understand exactly. Okay, so all right, you talk about gay people. So a gay guy walks in and says, "How's it, boy? Here's $20,000."
See, that's not different. The thing is with gay guys is I tell them I'm straight. So normally the gay guys just want like someone to go out with them, eat out, and to show off, but never the full...
What's the full?
Full Monty.
The full thing.
No, the full course.
The full course, the happy ending that is never done. It's normally just a dinner date and a movie and just to show off a bit at some venue or event. They just want you in a suit.
Are they allowed to touch you?
Don't allowed. In which ways do you mean now?
Well, they're allowed to touch your business at the bottom.
No, they're allowed to touch the business at the bottom.
Well, it's a fair question.
You get the ones that try, but never allowed to.
Okay. So, Jack, boundaries are put in place in your head, surely then?
Yes.
Okay. Is the price ever right?
The price is always never right. You always want more. That's what the business is about.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm asking you. So I'm understanding, is this business about money? Is it about connections? Is it about getting somewhere in your life? Or is it about...
I'd say it's enjoyment. Really? Enjoy yourself when you're young. There's no such... If you want to be a male stripper, you're going to get a lot of surprises. You build your confidence highly up. But not even egotistic, even go over past that. You just become a cool, placid guy.
Okay.
But it's for something to do and something to remember. Like when you're 8 years old, sitting on the stoop, you hear all these other old stories and you say, you know, I was a male stripper in my days. So I've got stories for you.
It's also about the way you were raised, about morals. Mm-hmm. You know, and then how were
Annie,
you...
And I want to come back to that, Annie. So how do we... It's an interesting question. How do we bridge the divide? You know, the guys take clothes off. People do stuff. People hit boundaries. You're in control in some sense because this is your spot, place. They come back to you. Okay. Someone gets out of hand, the $50,000's on the table. I don't know how it works. And you do your little thing and they touch your pee-pee, whatever goes on. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly where you're going.
They got to come back to you and go, little Annie, this is what I did.
This is where a stage name becomes extremely important. You need to become another person.
Ready.
I mean, Jack is not Jack. Z is not Z. I am not Annie. When we walk into a venue, or we walk to a gig to take our clothes off, we become that person. We become the little Annie or the actor or the actress. When you go home and you've got the money and you've done whatever the actor or actress has done, it's okay because you're going home as the real person and you're thinking, oh, Annie is just such a slapper. Why did little Annie do that, that, and that? Mm-hmm. And then you sit back and you think, oh, well, I can go to sleep because I'm not little Annie.
Okay.
You know, so it really become, you play mind games. This is one of the things I teach at the Learn to Tease classes is about the mind game that you have to play with yourself.
Do people do it in relationships? I mean, if Alan knows Ben and Ben and Alan are together or whomever, Ben, Alan and Justine, whatever, can we? Is that a part of the whole seduction thing, the sexual thing? Is it a part of it?
I think all relationships is a game. I really honestly think it's a game. I'm finding it really, really difficult to believe or to find anybody that's really happy in this industry, in their love lives.
In the business.
I mean, most people that I know in the business are single, or they're just seeing somebody, but it's all like, by the way, flirting. And there's nobody that's settling down that's both a stripper that's, you know, happy ever after. Mm. Got the children, got the house, got the dog, got the cat. There is no, you can't. You just cannot both be happy doing what we do. You just can't. When you meet somebody in a normal job, you have to give up flirting, all this flirting, going out, taking your clothes off, sharing your body with other people. Mm. You can't do that. And that's only a visual show.
Because that's why, because
you can't do it. It's just wrong. Think about it. Now, this is when we get back to morals. Morals, I mean, you just don't share your body. Your body is meant for your loved one, for your marriage, for your partner. Mm-hmm. It's not for the public. So when you're doing it.
When do you stop?
Well, when you feel it's ready.
How do they stop?
When they meet the right person, they will know. Mm. And that right person said to them the day, listen, sweetie, it's time you really stop. You know, hang up your hubcaps, as somebody would say to me. And I'll go, really? Do I have to make a decision? Well, right now in my life, it's my hubcaps. It's so not you, whoever it is.
Well, and you've been here for 30 years.
I'm not going to give it up. Yeah. So I'm going to probably die single and be alone. But that's one of the things. I have lots of friends.
Surrounded by young, sexy men.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by gorgeous daily. Well, I mean, everyone says that's why I look so young, because I...
This is
still so young.
CliffCentral.com. Little Annie and the boys, Jack and Z, are in studio. This is I'm in for Casper De Vries. My name is Alan Ford. It's good to be with you. But I'm so happy that we're having this discussion, because I think it's an important discussion to understand. Go back 15 years. We started this discussion about 15 years ago. We sat there. We had Jay in studio, if you remember Jay.
Yes.
We had a number of people.
It was a nighttime studio.
I think
as
if,
well.
If I remember, we even had it was a Friday night, and we had Gigi. We had
Gigi.
All those.
Dusty.
Do you remember go back? So where are they all now? 15 years
later. Well, Gigi's done very well for herself.
Very well.
As you know, she's
Lollipop Lounge.
Lollipop Lounge, as well as what was the program she won last year?
Survivor.
So she's, and I saw her about 2 weeks ago. It was actually very strange. I went to do a motorbike rally, and she was there giving a class on how to do a lap dance. She herself wasn't actually doing it. She was just speaking. Mm-hmm. Her girls was doing it. She's looking gorgeous.
Beautiful.
You know, Dusty is married, has kids, family, very away from the business.
They're
and
not
most,
doing it.
None of them are still any, not one of those girls are taking their clothes off at the moment. Well, I don't think they'll ever do it again. They were gorgeous, sexy, young, little perky boobs.
What happened to Jay?
I had no idea. No idea.
Do you remember these were the guys? I mean, I'm just... because I think and here's another interesting question. Girls, boys, different people. Different things. Internal, external, different stuff, huh? Or is it,
no,
is
no,
it different?
No, hold on. I've worked for... out of the 30 years, probably 20 years, I've worked with girls and girls only. Mainly for the reason because I've always been running a teasers and with executive shows. Since then, I've got very involved in teasers and showstoppers. So now I 90% of the time work with boys. Originally, I thought it was going to be much easier working with male strippers. But let me tell you, they're actually so the same. They become such prima donnas in the dressing room. They do argue about who's got the biggest tootie and who's got the biggest bicep. And yes, they like their steroids, which makes them moody. And the girls just have, unfortunately, those few days a month where they are really moody. But guys actually have that daily. If they
really?
Don't get their drink in time, or if they don't get their body shot in time, it's such a long story. They become such prima donnas. It's
well, one
scary.
Stripper sleeps with the other stripper's girlfriend.
Oh, that's
Annie,
actually,
that's
trauma, but I still love.
Please, Annie, I want to ask you something. Who has the biggest tootsie?
It's either between Rain and Reno.
No, but they're not there anymore. But now, no.
I haven't really bothered
just
looking.
We had a great conversation. Now we're going to
Reno
talk.
Is big. Reno's huge.
I don't know. Reno and Rain are large, but I have not, to be honest, I've actually lost complete interest in seeing and looking at Totti, so I don't know.
So, stand up for a second.
Show us your Totti. Let's see what you. No, not really.
Am I allowed to show it?
Yes, please. Jonathan will assess it. You must, I think.
Photos. I want all the girls to see.
Hang on, let's get the camera ready.
We had a serious conversation for a second. Absolutely.
I'll quickly come that side, and you go. Whoa, okay.
No, you can stay there. No, stand there, please. Okay, wait. I'm on camera.
He needs to warm it up.
Well, who do you think has got the biggest? Do you think it's you,
Teddy?
No, okay, Teddy. Teddy has got the biggest.
Teddy. He's hung like a horse.
Okay, guys.
Are we allowed to show?
You must.
Well, it's not on TV.
Oh, no. Shit. Why not?
There's a camera.
Take him out then.
Let's take it a video.
Why didn't you shave?
Oh, wait. I was going to take a photo, but okay. I think a video was
here. Take a video.
Okay, video.
We had such a great discussion happening. Okay.
But then,
I just see someone blushing very badly.
No, yeah.
Look at those red cheeks.
I think you should come to choose hers then, eh? Okay, here we go.
I'm not looking.
Really?
Okay,
Annie, I don't want to look.
Annie, have a look, Annie.
Really, I'll work with that.
Annie,
it's like stock.
It's a stock.
Does a, you know, somebody that owns a fruit and veg shop, does he go around poking and touching his apples and pears? No. It's going to be bruised and messed and abused. I don't want to mess any of you up.
Before we end this program on cliffcentral.com, my dear, I suggest Jonathan needs to have a look. Not on camera.
Oh, not on camera? Okay.
No, leave it off.
Okay, let's go this side. Wait, hold on. Okay, let's walk around.
It's the art of seduction.
Yeah, we have to do it up close.
This is cliffcentral.com. We are going...
Okay, what have a look? Okay, this is full now. Come on.
Please, I've seen much bigger than that, honey.
they use the pumps, though. The pumps.
Show. I'm a grower.
He's not a shower. He's a grower.
This has been cliffcentral.com. My name's Alan Ford. It's been a pleasure to stand in for Casper de Frisman. I'm kind of.
I think you
have
traumatized his audience.
We launched the app today officially to all the public. Guys, please download Cliff Central app.
Yes.
All the app stores. Thanks, guys, for joining in. Jack, Z, Little Annie, the shows, Tease Hers, Fridays and Saturday nights. Always good, always happening.
Always.
So we're seeing you tonight.
No, Donnie.
Or tomorrow night, rather then.
We'll see you next week.
I love it.
Lovely being here. Thanks,
and
guys.
And don't forget Sexpo.
This is CliffCentral.com.